Praise God. I want to thank the Lord, first of all, just for being here. I thank you, Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength, and I just rejoice for just being here. It's a great opportunity. To me, it's a blessing to come up here and just share what God has been giving me. I love it. It's like, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. You guys are like, I want to go up. I want to share what God is doing in my life. Well, I'm not going to share what God is doing in my life, but I will share what I've seen God doing in everyone's life. I'm not going to talk about me, but I'll talk about God. And I'll talk about, it's just from what I'm seeing. 3 weeks ago, I think it was, about three weeks ago, we knew about this little girl that had cancer. And she had cancer. Was it all over her body? It was in a lot of her organs. Most of in her lungs and her spine and all over the place. She had cancer, a 9-year-old little girl. And I knew about it. And the reason I knew about it was because she is the niece of the lady that is one of our pastors in Mexico. It's renting the building from. So they're trying to collect money because they need to bring this little girl to the United States for treatment. So I guess the pastor from over there told them about us, and they're non-believers. Or they were non-believers.
That's great.
So they were non-believers. So the pastor from over there told them, hey, why don't you call my pastor's pastor? I'm not talking about you, David. I'm talking about your mama. So they decided to call Pastor Cindy. They wanted to talk to Pastor Cindy. And I figure out of all the people, they want to talk to Pastor Cindy. They never met Pastor Cindy. They met Pastor Scott, but did not meet Pastor Cindy. They met a lot of people from the church, but not Pastor Cindy. And they wanted to talk to Pastor Cindy. So I called Pastor Cindy, and I told her about it, and she decided to talk to them. And when that took place, 2 weeks ago, she had to go to the doctor. That week, this was a Saturday, I think. I'm not sure on the days, but I think it was like 4 or 5 days later, she had to go to the doctor. So the little girl goes to the doctor, and they had to do all these treatments and things that they had to do, make sure that they're for chemo and all these things that she had to go through. So they did all these tests. And last week, it was like in the middle of last, not this week that just passed, the week prior, I decided to call. I follow my heart. Let me call the father of this girl. So I call the father, and I talk to him. I go, hey, how's your daughter doing? And he's like, well, we just got the result right today. We got the result from the doctor, and they said that she has less than 5% tracts of cancerous cells in her body. He's like, but we're going to need to keep on looking. I go, no, you don't. She has been healed already. The word says that she was healed by his tribe. And he's listening, and he's listening, he's listening, he's listening. He's grabbing hold of the good news of the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is alive and he still heals today as he did 2,000 years ago. And that was just an amazing thing. And I just wanted to share that. It wasn't Pastor Cindy's that prayed in her prayer. It was God's will to heal her. God wanted, but somebody had to preach to her so they could hear about the Savior. I just want you to know that God's still in the healing business. And he's chasing after you. He is chasing after you. Man, he's chasing after me. Praise God. Praise God. So I got a scripture, and I don't even know how this mixes with everything I'm saying, but I'm just going to be obedient. Because he gave me another scripture. And I'll read with, I'm going to go with the latter scripture, and then I'll go to the first scripture. Let's go to John 15, 14. And I'm going to read up here And I say again, John 15, 14. Guys, God loves us. He passionately loves us. So he gives me this. You are my friends if you do what I command. So I got this morning. And I said, all right, I'll go with what you're telling me. Because he gave me another scripture before that. And I'll go into that in a few minutes. But I think this applies to all of us. He's telling you, if you do what I'm telling you, guys, everything is going to work out excellent for you. Because my plans are better than your plans. I already have a plan for your life before you were created here in this earth, before you came to life. I already had a plan and a purpose for you. So just listen to what I'm telling you and follow what I'm saying, because my plans are better. And sometimes we just don't understand it. We have plans and we have vision. We see things. But God already has a plan for us, which is even better than our vision. Sometimes our own plans, they might be great plans, but it might cause hurt and heartaches and not only hurt to us, but to our family members and other people. So let's follow God's plan better than our plan. And sometimes it just doesn't make sense, you know, but follow his plan. Last week, there was we told you guys about the shooting in Mexico. I don't know if you guys remember. They were shooting at the people as they go up the mountain to where the church is. And everybody panicked, and they spread out, and they were like, they didn't know what to do. But the answer was, let's gather together and let's pray. Let's hear what God has to say first before we act. But human nature says, let's just act, and then we'll pray God to bless whatever we're doing. But the way to do the things that God is, the godly way is, let's pray, hear God, and then act upon it. Amen? Amen. Nothing to do with my message. Let's go to Luke 15:2, and this is where we'll start. And let's see what God does here. It'll be great, because if it's him, it'll be good. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. Thank you for giving me ears to hear your voice, Father. I thank you, Lord, because I have ears to hear what you have to say. I know your voice. I know your voice. And I obey and I follow in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. 15:2. So this is it. It says, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. For those that don't know the scripture, they're talking about Jesus. Jesus welcomes sinners and eats with them. And sometimes that is a ridiculous thing for any religious person to digest. How could God, a holy God, a God, a righteous God, could welcome sinners and eat with them? That's just crazy. But his love toward us, it is so great that no matter what your sin is, his arms are always open, waiting for you to come home. He's always waiting for you to come back to him. That is the type of God that we have. Of course, after that, there's a scripture in verse 4, and it talks about the 99 sheep. It says, if one gets lost, the good shepherd, he will go after that one. He will leave the 99 and go after that one that has been lost. This week, or not this week, October 10th, we're having the picnic. November November. What month are we? November, we're having the picnic. And in this picnic, look at, search your heart, and let's go reach that one that is lost. Reach that one that is lost. Not being judgmental about, look what they're doing, look what they've done, because you have forgotten what you were doing and what you have done.
I was that one.
I don't know. Everybody wanted to raise their hands. We've all been there. We've all been there. And it is God's mercy. It is God's mercy that accepts us to come back home to Him. And He could restore us and put us back in right standing with Him. And it is His grace that empowers us to do what we couldn't do out of our own strength. That is grace. And that is grace. There was a song that says grace on grace. Grace on top of grace. That's amazing. His grace. It's unmerited favor toward us. Empowers us also. It gives us power to do what you can't do on your own strength. That what you couldn't stop doing, it is grace that would allow you to stop. It is through love that He would do this. He loves you so much that He will actually take the time. He will actually take the time to love you every day, every night, all through, as long as you welcome Him. Praise God. On that parable right there that we're talking about, the lost sheep, I think it's the last verse 9. Let me see. Hold on a second. Verse 7. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over the sinner, over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's crazy. Let me read out of the NIV. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven. More rejoicing in heaven. This is Jesus telling you this. There will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. So all of you guys are here that are righteous. You know why you're righteous? You're righteous because you've been saved by grace. All of you that are righteous here, to our Lord, that one lost sheep out there he rejoices over them more than you guys, whatever you guys are doing, that is right. I'm trying to digest this whole thing because I just got this a couple days ago, and I'm trying to digest this whole thing. Because I'm like, how could He love me so much? Yet, we, the church, because I'm looking around, everybody here is saved. Everybody here has been saved by grace. Not by works, because not on what I know most of you, and I know we wouldn't make it by works. So I know we've been saved by grace. We've been saved by grace. And how great would it be to just share this good news with the world, with your fellow workers, right, John? With your fellow workers, with your next door neighbor, with the guy in the 7-Eleven or wherever you go. Share this good news. It is so simple to do. I was talking to my wife about it today, this morning. And it came out wrong the way I said it. But I think if we take the time just to go to your neighbors that are, or your neighbor, not neighbors, just your neighbor, your family member that is hurting, going to them and praying for them. If we pray for them, and as you pray for them, you share the good news with them. That's empowering them to overcome whatever they're going through. And you got to take the time to come back again. It's not a just one-time thing. Take the time with certain people that God has put in your life. God puts people in your life so you can minister to them and share this good news so you can rescue that one lost sheep. You are it. You are the answer to what God is looking for. You are the chosen one for that one person. Unfortunately, many of us, I'm not talking about going door to door and knocking like a vacuum cleaner salesman or anything like that. I'm talking about going to the people you know or people that are hurting. In Mexico, when this shooting took place, I was like, oh my goodness, what an opportunity to preach the gospel. Let's go pray for all these people that are desperate and lost, and they're crying out, and they don't know what's going to become of their life. Because look at what's going on in their neighborhood. They're being shot at. I said, what an opportunity to bring peace and joy into these households. And the only way you bring peace and joy is by going into that household and introducing Jesus to them, Lord and Savior, and taking the time to disciple them. Disciple them. Go out to the nations and make disciples, right? And we're talking about to the people, make disciples. What an opportunity. So take these opportunities. It's not a good thing that they're going through it, but it's a great opportunity for us to share the gospel at that time. Because you are their solution. You got the answer. And you will be you will be the solution that they need to take that, to take them the answer, to share, give them the, let me see, blah, 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 blah. You, that was in tongues, by the way. I was just blabbing. You have the answer in you, so you could take it to them and leave that answer so they could either they receive it or they'll turn it down. See, it has nothing to do in your condition. You could be, because Pastor Cindy, when she prayed for that little girl, she wasn't feeling well. She was like, I hope Pastor Manny, I need prayer too. But she prayed and she shared the good news. And in that sharing, that little girl was healed. Because for God, that little girl is important. And somebody, she needed that touch. And it needed somebody to take that touch. And they believe that Pastor Cindy was that. Because how would they know that? Well, only God will put that in their heart. In the same way, God put it in Pastor Cindy's heart to pray. And as she prayed, Pastor Cindy felt like she was renewed. And then this little girl, she was renewed. So it just matches. Take the time. Hear what he's saying. Obey of what he's saying. I don't think I have anything else to say. No, that's not true. What time? I got time. Good. So same thing happens, you know, and I'm talking about the church people. And I'm saying, why don't we do these things? Why don't we pray for others? Why do we have to call the pastor to do the praying? Why, you know, if you feel like you're not equipped, take the time and get equipped. There's the tools here to get equipped. Get equipped. Get strong in the message of salvation, of faith righteousness, so you can walk in that faith righteousness. Restore yourself and strengthen yourself in the Word of God. So when you face these circumstances or people have these circumstances, you have the answer for them immediately. And you are sure of yourself that because you're sure of yourself, not that you can do it, but you're sure of yourself that God is with you and God wants to do it. He wants to do it more than you want to do it. He wants these people restored more than you want them restored. Because I'm telling you, there's sometimes there's people that I don't even want to pray for. I'll be honest. There's people that I come across and I'm like, man, this guy, he's a lost case. And I notice, and I've seen God, when I share, I just say what he says. And when I say what God says, it brings restoration. It has nothing to do with me. It's all about him. It's all about what God wants. Let's go, I'm going to stay there and I'm going to tell you guys another story here. And right in that same chapter, it talks about in verse 12, in chapter 15, it talks about the parable of the lost son. It says, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, that belongs to me. And he divided unto them his living. So the father, man, that says completely different in the NIV. I like that. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. So he's talking about the prodigal son. So this child, and this is a good example how much God cares for that one that is lost. That one. So the father gives this young man his portion. And he goes and he parties. He wastes it all. He gets drunk in such a state that he's even sleeping with the pigs. And he's Jewish. That's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. So this guy was just sleeping with the pigs. It was just a terrible thing. In that story, it says that when the son came to his senses, when he said, wait a second, what am I doing? I was better off on my dad's house than sleeping here in this pig pen. I'm just going to go back to my dad, and at least I'll have it better off over there as a servant than I would as living away from there. So this child goes to his father's house, and as he goes to his dad's house, his dad is waiting for him. Every day, his dad goes out and he looks for him. And that is God. He's just waiting for you. He's always looking for you to come back to him. No matter where you've gone, your heavenly father is always looking for you. And he's looking for those that are lost. He's just waiting. He is waiting. He's just waiting, waiting, waiting. And when that lost child came back, the father said that he ran to him. So he ran to him and he grabbed him and hugged him. He embraced him. And he called his servant. And he told him, bring him back his mantle. Bring him back his robe. Bring him back, you know, his clothing. Bring him back his shoes. Bring him back the ring, the family ring. Bring it back so we'll put him back where he belongs in kingship. I want him back to rule with me. I want him back in this state. And that is how our Father, our Heavenly Father, looks at us. He wants us with him. He wants us to rule with him. He wants us to just take control of all these demonic things that are taking place in this world. You have the authority in you. And the authority is the name of Jesus. His name is above all names. He is majesty. And he is in you. And you are in him. And with him you can't go wrong. You rule. You church, you rule. Praise God because of Jesus. That's good news. Of course, the story goes, and that child that lost the parable, one of the other child, the other brother, of course, he was there. He was at home, and he did everything that was right, and he obeyed his father. He never did anything wrong. And he gets angry. And I think sometimes us in the church, sometimes we get angry when we see other people getting blessed. When we say they don't deserve to be blessed. So this child, he gets angry because this younger one, and when he gets home, the father, he kills the best, what was it? The fatted calf. He kills a fatted calf, and he dresses him up. He gives him back authority. He gives him back his family ring. He puts him back right exactly where he was before he left. It's like he never lost anything. All he lost was time and a heartache for those times that he was away from home. And I'm telling you, when we separate ourselves from our Heavenly Father, that's all we're going to lose. We're going to lose that period of time. It's going to be heartaches and that bad memory that'll stay with us because of the experience, that bad experience we experienced separated from our Heavenly Father. It's so much easier being home with Him. It's so much easier just staying connected with your Heavenly Father. And Todd, I know you know this. You should be preaching this. You should be preaching this, brother. It is so much easier, guys, being home. The father, the brother goes, Dad, I think it was in verse, I was reading out of a different Bible, but the son says, tells him, he goes, Dad, you know, look at all the things he did. He wasted your money. He wasted his part of the la herencia. How do you say herencia?
Inheritance.
He wasted his part of the inheritance. Yeah. I got my connections here. He wasted part of his inheritance.
Inheritance.
He wasted part of his inheritance. I'm telling you, I can't speak Spanish correctly and I can't speak English correctly. This is like, it's getting worse as we go along. He wasted part of his inheritance. He's telling the son, the other brother is telling him, look, Dad, he wasted part of his inheritance. What a bad testimony he gave to us. Look what he's doing out there. And the father answers him. He says, well, give me a scripture, somebody. And he, 29.
It's right up there.
Oh, my son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. Verse 32. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So as I close with this, because I'm going to close on this. People are important to God. And I know they're important to you too, because you have the heart of God. Sometimes we're looking. Don't be looking at the outside. Look at the potential that's in these people. There's a potential there that you can't even imagine. You can't see it sometimes, but the dirt that's out on the outside. But when you wash them up and you clean them up, they're beautiful. They're beautiful. They're beautiful. There's one scripture more that I wanted to go to, and I'm going to close with this. 1 John, 4:19? 4:9. And it says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10. This is love. And church, grab a hold of this. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That is love. Why keep this away from the world? This is what we need to share. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Take it. Share it with people. And you, if you're missing this love, I want you to search in your heart and ask God to reveal his love for you. Because he loves you and he is passionate about you. If you're finding it hard to love God, it's all right. Just understand that he loves you. He loves you first, and he loves you. loves you. He sent his one and only son as an atoning sacrifice for your sins. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks. I give you praise, and I give you glory. I thank you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus, praise you. Thank you, Father. You know, sometimes we come to church, and we congregate. The church congregates. And sometimes we come here and we walk out with needs. Sometimes we'll walk out with information. Sometimes we get information like, you know, you should go visit this doctor, or you should go see this mechanic, or you should go see this. But actually, the answer is not out there. The answer is here. So if you need prayer today, I'm asking you, get off your seat and come and receive your prayer for whatever your need is. Because the answer is here, and it is in prayer.